that obtained may be created by consent. And there were being numerous consents come through, so I don't know if the interpretation was that per consent, two new plus the retained. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that I've heard other members of council saying that they had actually fought with the MMMH to ensure that that was the opportunity, that there would never be a restriction that, you know, if you take a certain size lot and you use the minimum requirements, 60 meter frontage and is it one hectare size? Or 0.8 in the rural, that you have this, the remainder can never be developed because it you've used up what's allowable for consents for that property. I don't ever recall it being limited to the only one consent.
Yeah, there's always a question, I guess, from years back, 100-acre piece of property, for instance. You could only get two severances and a retained on a 100-acre piece, and then be so much of it left that you could never touch, just keep it as vacant land. And I think that was a concern that went to the municipal affairs. So I think that's another extreme case where you have a lot of property then. It'd be much bigger than this piece. But yes?
Just a response to that.
Yeah.
But with... Isn't that where the subdivision process is appropriate then? I think the official plan is saying we'll allow you to create two lots by consent because that's a cheap and easy way to sever land. If you have your 100 acres and you want to create 15 lots, you need to go through a subdivision process. That's fair. So create two lots by consent, but if you want to keep going, do a subdivision proposal.
I guess the question in the end is, what is the difference there? You certainly wouldn't want a subdivision there if you don't want two more lots. So if they went the subdivision route, would that be acceptable?
Well, cost is the difference, for
right.
one thing,
right.
and a more fulsome review
right.
of the entire situation and addressing cumulative impact. Right now, we're being subjected to cumulative impact with, you know, these progressive applications, and I'm not sure that's in my mind, that wasn't the most appropriate way to go if that was her ultimate plan.
Okay, another comment back.
Sorry, I kind of agree with Ron there, and I can't speak for Ms. Diamond, but by the way, I read the other plan. Her original wedding venue was to develop that hayfield as well. So on the back of my mind, my imagined intention is that she's going to continue to do that. And it wouldn't bother to do that. And I understand that she has a business to run, but Ms. Diamond doesn't live here, and she wouldn't be subject to those cumulative impacts, right? So whether that's her plan to go through that process, that's obviously the same concern as wrong. Whether it's allowed through the planning process or not, and you're right, yes, maybe the subdivision, that planning process go, and I would still object to that because of all the reasons I mentioned before, and I just, I think most areas in McKellar would feel the same. So.
Okay, good point too. Gord?
I think of Perry Sound now, if you want to... the subdivision, you pay $50,000 to build a house to provide the services. This is one of the most economically depressed areas in the province of Ontario. We need affordable places for people to build that are not lake. And that's reality. You still can control. They could be six, they could be five, they could be four. A matter of fact, I think in the official plan there somewhere that put in that the main roads are for development. They like the roads off the development, but I remember having that put in with Mr. Jackson when that plan was written. But the reason all those lots were there was to provide opportunity for the people at the lower end of the pay scale to live here. Somebody on the lake that can't afford to keep the cottage anymore, they can sell the cottage and build a nice home there. Good people. But do you think the average kid that graduates from Tarrytown High School and gets the average job, he ain't going to have 50 grand. Mm-hmm. 50 grand, 60, 70, maybe get a lot, whatever. But at least it makes things affordable for the people who live here. Everybody doesn't have a government job. Everybody doesn't have this. So you have to, for us to have growth, it has to be even. Can't just be in one sector anymore. Mm-hmm. We have to start providing for the people in the lower end of the pay scales. I can't see any major damage. The septics are so approved now. The wells are drilled. Everything is built to code. The houses are readily. So I can't see with all the environmental controls already on the building and the septics and the knowledge everybody has now what it's going to do any damage in a field. I don't know, it might not be farming at that little bit of land anymore. Maybe they still cut it. But that's all. But the people that live here in the lower end of the base here have to have lots like that on a maintained road. The hydro goes by, the snowplow goes by, costs us nothing, but it gives us more tax base to improve other areas of the province, of our township, I'm saying.
Yes. All these respects, I agree, we do need more housing. There's just the extenuating factor in our street that we will now, the people who live in that area are going to be subject to a 200-person wedding venue. The Herville Road is going to be subject to an extra 200 vehicles every weekend. The noise, the whatever impacts come with that. So it's different than building a house on Center Road versus a house, five extra houses where there's already an extenuating circumstance. We need to consider that. I know it's not part of the application, but we need to consider the extenuating circumstance for the people who live in that area. So it's different than just two houses. This is two houses on top of something we're already subject to. And it's more, the environmental impact's more than just the impact of the house. It's also the destruction of the habitat and area. And like Ron said, if we look back at that previous plan, there was whatever, I don't know if it was a formal plan, but there was some promise or statement about not developing that area in exchange for the neighbors being exposed to that excessive noise and traffic in that area. And that was part of the deal that was made with council at the time, and I don't know if it was official or how that was signed. So.
Other comments from council? Councilor Keck.
Well, we certainly need some clarification on 5.10.4. There's no way that all of a sudden, you know, the question can be called without having a full grasp of 5.10.4 in this situation. And, you know, is this no more than two per consent? What is it? Because as long as I've been on council, there's been numerous consents on rural properties of two in the retained, and then the retained would be go through another consent application, maybe a few years down the line. So we need to have some clarification on this.
In the report. That does say under official plan, it needs to be pointed out that this policy does not prevent applicants from applying for additional lots on the same original property. That's what's being put in front of us. And as Patrick has mentioned, it has happened numerous times that if somebody has a piece of property, whether it had severances in the past or not, they may buy it as and had never any consents. But they are allowed to sever off a couple of lots if they want off of their parcel of land. And another thing is lot size throughout the years. I believe like 30, 40 years ago, lot sizes were almost half of that. They were half the area. They had didn't require near that much frontage. These lots now require 200 feet of road frontage and 2 acres. That's a chunk of property. That's not like you're over pop, you know, squishing everybody in. You have nice size yards on each side of you, and you can. So that was brought in throughout the years to make sure we don't have, you know, everybody piled on top of each other. And so I'm comfortable going forward with it. Now they have brought up, it certainly is a concern if the same applicant comes forward again wanting to divide a couple of more lots. I think the council should really have a better look at it and see what's trying to be accomplished here, but I've personally, I feel that these lots are adequate size and they will have no minimal impact on the environment. So I'm comfortable in going ahead with it.
Councilor Kevin?
Well, this is why we need clarification, because if we're not clear on it now, why would we wait until the next consent comes forward and then try to have clarification at that point in time? Because this is just one of many consents that will come forward, and there's nothing that prevents it if they have the minimum required frontage and area. That, and it's, if we're reading it the way that we have for the last as long as I've been on the terms of council, that there's nothing has prevented anyone from coming forward with the next consent with two in the retained.
Yes.
Then I guess if that becomes the final interpretation, the true interpretation of the policy, then I guess an OPA should be done to clarify that for the public, so that it spells out and can't be misinterpreted if that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, well, what we have right now is, first of all, there was an amendment, just to mention to Councillor Haskam, that for Lot 2, can accommodate an entrance onto Herdville Road, and Lot 1, either Herdville Road and or Burnett's Road. That was the only amendment to it. So if there's no further discussion on this, I'm hearing this is from Councillor Kekkonen and Councillor Zulak. I think Councillor Kekkonen is pushing for deferral, by the sounds of it, until we get more information. Councillor Haskam says okay at this point, so I guess I have to put it out there and to the mover and seconder.
I'm okay with it going forward, because I feel that it's on, no matter if it, the entrances are on Burnett's Road or the entrances are on Herdville Road, they're a publicly maintained road, and like there is no... The land there has quite a bit of opportunity. I don't know whether she would be able to even divide any more off, but it's been done in the past, and I don't think where it's going to be any harmful by granting these two more lots. Because it's not on the water, and you know you need to have housing, and I think it's fine. Like I'm saying, it's the both of them front on a year-round publicly maintained road. Either if they go on Burnett's Road or you go on Herdville Road, and like Morley's saying there, that the lots are a nice good chunk. It's not like you're cramped elbow space in there.
Councilor Ryan first.
Mike, can I ask, in terms of trying to seek a clarification of the official plan, how, and it's a logistical question, how would we go about doing that? Who would we get clarification from, or how would we arrive at a clarification?
That's a good question.
I know.
Because we made the official plan.
You know, when you look at the wording, and, you know, how we've been interpreting it a certain way, or the council has been interpreting it a certain way for as long as I've been on council. There was always this allowable opportunity for a consent to come forward, and then in the rural designation, two in the retained. And then a few years later, you would see another. Your prime example is Fire 155. That's been gone through several consents down in that area. There's numerous. So how is this read? Because this property does seem to have the enough to meet future consents. There's enough, seems like there's enough frontage and there's enough land area there. So there's nothing that's, if this is what the interpretation is, from what I can see, there's nothing that's preventing this from coming forward for another at least one more consent, and you'd have to do the calculations, but possibly more.
So, you wonder who to talk to. I mean, we do have planners that work on behalf of the township, J.L. Richards.
Okay.
That could be the source of information.
But, I mean, I think it, and I buy your argument, certainly have much more expertise than I do, that's no doubt. But are they able to interpret what the authors of the official plan intended? And I don't know, I don't really think that's possible. I don't know how to do it. I don't know who the authors were, but...
Township.
Of course, but all I'm saying is, in my opinion, with nothing to do with the official plan, if you're going to interpret a document, you need to go back to whoever wrote it and say, what was your intention? It still doesn't necessarily hold water, but it, you know, it's at least worth asking. Because otherwise, my concern, you know, as mentioned by Mr. Colley and Mr. Black, is this could just be incrementalism and you just keep going until there's literally no more space to sever, right? And, you know, collectively, it's death by a thousand cuts if you take that viewpoint anyhow. So I don't support it. I really don't. But I'd be happy with a deferral to at least have somebody else look at it so that we're not making an error in judgment in defeating it either. I'm not real comfortable with that part, but I just don't know how we would go about it. Certainly asking a planning opinion would be far more beneficial than my opinion, but anyway, I don't know where to go with it, that's all. But and if that's the intention one way or the other, it should actually say it, and I know that would mean an amendment to the official plan, but I mean, the simple point is that it should either say that, you know, you can only have one consent or two consents or, you know, whatever number was thought of at the time, because otherwise I could take a massive property and just have dozens of them, I mean, with a big property, so...
Okay.
Well, it was purposely worded like that when we were dealing with municipal affairs.
Okay.
Purposely worded like that so we could get more for the people. Allow more lot. Purposely worded because it was a fight and every word was meticulously looked at. People were 11, 12, 1 o'clock when we were dividing all this stuff. And it was bought to get three an extra one on the lakeshore and everything like that. And that was purposely worded that way so we could continue with reasonable development. Council controls how many lots are in a certain area. And they allow consents, you know what I mean, reasonable environmental concerns, but it was purposely written like that so we would be able to continue with development. So you go around two lots, 100 acres anywhere that hasn't had a couple lots of it. So I guess that's it for the development in Macau then. If you go to somebody else, how far back do you go? 50 years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years? You have to be able to get any change in the plan, and as I said, that was specifically put in there so we could have development controlled by the municipality, not by somebody, municipal affairs or anything like that. Sure, they like to stop everything down and stop you with nothing. Ask them what their opinion is. But that's the reason it was put in by us, the council. They were, Morley, you were on and everything when we went through this years ago, first official one.
Mm-hmm.
But it was purposely done because we killed ourselves trying to get as much development as humanly possible in here for the people. At reasonable development. And nothing has happened. The world hasn't ended. There's no small little lots anywhere with shacks on them or anything anymore. They can't be built. So the building code takes care of that. The environment takes care of the septic. So I can't see why. But it was purposely written like that so we could control
thank you.
Instead of any other agency in the council.
Okay.
And Mr. Dulac says that, yes, I understand the development there, and he's using the word reasonable. And I challenge anyone to think that it's reasonable to live in a rural area and then have a 200-person wedding facility there and then allow the person to make $100,000 and more properties and more, you know, no one, none of you, I challenge, would want that wedding facility right in front of you. So yes, development's reasonable, a few lots, whether you're severing 100 acres into 5 or 10, but all those other spots don't have this massive attraction that's going to have the traffic, the noise, and the people and the damages that come with it, coming up that road. Yes, the two houses wouldn't, But we're talking accumulated effects. So in this case, it's not reasonable. And I don't think anyone else would feel it was reasonable to live across from that either. So I guarantee next year I'll be back here because there's going to be another two lots. Miss Diamond does not live here. She's never approached any of us on that neighborhood. She's not subject to all that damages that we are. So I guarantee I'll be back. We're going to have to address this again. So besides the planning rules, that's why I don't want to speak in sentence. So.
I think, okay.
Just quickly, there are more concerns than what Gord has been indicating. And there are more policies in the official plan that address those. And an overriding policy, I would say, in this in McKellar, is the rural nature of our community. I bought a 34-acre lot, and I have no intention of dividing it. My neighbor on the west side, who's passed away now, but my previous neighbor, Jim Gardner, had 67 acres. And Mr. Colley's property, who was after the Nixies, had 32 acres. So we had a 100-acre property in amongst our community. And now our community is changing, and it's getting chunked up. So it is affecting our enjoyment of the rural nature of our landscape, and that is addressed in other policies, and development is supposed to ensure that those values are preserved. So that's my argument. Leave it with you, and I hope that you make a decision that's in accordance with the policies of the official plan. Thank you.
I think, too, we have to, as a council, look at this as the application in front of us, which is separate from the wedding venue, whether we like it or not. This is really not our concern at this point. Lumping the two together, I don't think, is really something we can do. We can't look at a future possible development up there. And I know what you're saying, the potential is there, certainly, but we have an application for two severances, and we have to take it as a separate two severances.
Yeah, I totally understand where you guys are coming from, and I know we can't do that. It's probably my ignorance. I don't understand what would allow or not allow a severance, like what you guys have to look at. But part of that for me was the additional damage to the area, right? Which hits a reaching point because we have these other things in the area. You can't ignore the entire landscape. And yes, that has nothing to do with this application, but it's part of the landscape of why I would allow more lots in the area versus not allowing more lots. But I know you have rules and regulations of how you have to go about it. So
our problem is even on your property or somebody else's property, we don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
Any number of things could go up. It could be a severed and a proposal for a hotel or something.
Yeah.
We don't know. And so for us, it's difficult to go beyond and look at a possibility. You know, a future possible scenario is just too hard for us. Councillor Keifel.
So what we're looking at is these two new lots plus the retained, is this consent allowable according to the does it have the proper frontage and the proper area? Are two new lots plus the retained allowed with this consent? Or was it limited back with the previous one? Because the wording says two new lots plus the retained may be created by consent. It doesn't say per consent. If it was per consent, it would be very clear. But this says by consent.
But it also, Councillor, but it also refers to section 5.10.4.
And that's the section I'm reading here.
Oh, sorry, then there's an... There are two sections that apply to it, not?
Okay, so 5.10.1.
Yeah, that's, doesn't
that what you're reading? So 5.10.1 says land division may proceed by either registered plan of subdivision or consent in accordance with those policies of the Planning Act and all other policies of this plan. And so then 5.10.4 says in the rural designation, no more than two new lots plus the retained may be created by consent subject to complying with all other policies of this plan. So with 5.10.1, land division may proceed by either registered plan of subdivision or consent in accordance with those policies of the Planning Act and all other policies of this plan. So is that where it was interpreted in the past, that it wasn't of the in the best... It did not meet the sort of the, what would flag it that this should go through a plan of subdivision. Is that why in the past some of these consents, numerous consents on one piece of property have come forward that somehow reviewing whether it should be done through a registered plan of subdivision, the interpretation or the interpretation for the previous ones were that that would not serve the best interest going through a registered plan of subdivision. I'm just trying to make sense of how is it that these, if it says maybe be created by consent, not per consent, how is it that that's the interpretation that we were provided with for all the consents that have come forward in the past on the same piece of property where numerous consents have come forward allowing for 2 plus the retained.
I think you have to look at as well, it ties in 5.10.2. Consents to sever land will be permitted where it can be demonstrated that a plan of subdivision is not necessary for the proper development. And it goes through where a limited number of lots, which leaves it open, where the pattern of development has been established, where the severance conforms to the policies, where there's no extension to an open and assumed municipal road, where the land fronts on an existing public year-round road, or in accordance with the exceptions. So what it's suggesting in 5.10.2 is that there's no need for a plan of subdivision based on this criteria, that the consents would be an acceptable way to approach. So again, that's interpretation.
From working on the roads policy over a couple of years, I can recall, I don't have the details in front of me, other than in a plan of subdivision, you wouldn't, like, well, forgetting a plan of subdivision, if the rest of the otherwise unused land, not including where the barn is, but including where the field is, if you had multiple entrances onto Herdville Road adjacent to a major road like Burnett's, then the amount of traffic and the points of entry of traffic onto Herdville Road definitely presents a hazard. And hence it mentions building internal roads
right.
with a single entrance, not all of them exiting individually.
Right.
But
that is in the
yeah.
preference for an internal road.
Yeah. I don't have the exact words, but I recall that's the theme, and that, of course, makes sense, right? You don't want everybody getting on everywhere, and they would be fairly close together, or certainly a lot closer together than things now, so...
Well, even though it's a higher speed, certainly MTO has regulations too.
Yeah.
A number of driveways you can have within a certain area.
Yeah. But.
Other comments, questions? Fun comment, yes.
I think in the official plan it mentions on the major roads, I can't remember the sections or not, that it's not developments allowed on and it's not to be held against it for traffic. Hmm. Somewhere in the official plan, I remember putting that clause put in there. I can't.
Well, you're right. That was a clause because it did say even though you prefer internal roadways,
yes,
it's not to stop developments with entrance onto a main thoroughfare. It is in there.
Well, I was concerned that they would stop development on the main roads.
Right.
So you had the main roads that have been factored in. It's allowed that development on the main roads.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
It's in there. You're right. I remember it. Okay, we ready for a vote on this?
Can I ask for a recorded vote?
Okay, well, we have to, first of all,
Tori.
Do we want to defer or do we want to vote?
Just one more comment.
Yes.
I think that the 5.10.2, you know, this was, you know, helping to interpret how this is, because a couple of points that it makes is that it's demonstrated a plan of subdivision is not necessary for the proper development of the municipality and where the pattern of development has been established.
Read it again, Mike. Sorry, I didn't grasp the first part.
Consents to sever land, so I guess you should probably read land division, the entire land division may proceed by either registered plan of subdivision or consent in accordance with those policies of the Planning Act and all other policies of this plan. Where a plan of subdivision is proposed adjacent to Highway 124, okay, this is not very, not applicable here, but 5.10.2, consents to sever land will be permitted where it can be demonstrated that a plan of subdivision is not necessary for the proper development of the municipality, and where a limited number of lots in accordance with Section 5.10.3, which...
Waterfront,
and 5.10.4, where a limited number of lots in accordance with Section 5.10.3 and 5.10.4 of this plan are being proposed, where the pattern of development has been established, and where the severance conforms to the policies of the official plan, where there is no extension to an opened and assumed municipal road, where the land fronts on existing public year-round road or in the accordance with the exception set out in 5.8.2, consents may be granted for boundary adjustments, correction, title, right-of-ways, and other purposes that do not create separate lots. Such consent shall be evaluated on their own merit. Consents may be permitted for mortgage purposes. Then 5.10.3, the waterfront designation. In the waterfront designation, no more than 3 new lots plus the retained may be created by consent, subject to complying with all other policies of the plan. 5.10.4. In the rural designation, no more than 2 new lots plus the retained may be created by consent, subject to complying with all other policies of this plan.
Which I just read. But okay. That emphasizes it. So, I guess the big question is to vote or to defer. So, I'll put this to a vote then, and you wanted a recorded vote. So, I guess that's your job then.
Councillor Morley Haskin?
Yes.
Councillor Mike Kekkonen?
Yes.
Councillor Nick Ryland?
Can you clarify for me, are we voting about deferral or are we voting
no.
to approve?
This is approved.
No.
Councillor Debbie Zulak?
Yes.
Mayor David Moore?
Yes. Okay, 4 yeas, 1 nay, so it's carried. On to 16, committee board minutes, recommendations for approval. And resolution 23-225, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received the minutes of the February 23rd, 2023 meeting of the Township of McKellar Recreation Committee. Discussion? All those in favor? And opposed? Carried. Sorry, Patrick, I caught up in the discussion there, so thanks for coming out and clarifying everything for us.
That's just that letter that from the group. Did you make that? It's okay. Got to go to bed. Been up since 2:30. Done two loads of dial back. Thank you, folks.
Great.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you. Safe drive back.
Yes, seriously.
May I ask for a 5-minute recess or a 3-minute recess?
Okay, you won't move anything until you get back.
Thank you.
Was that the everyone's battery power again? I don't know why that one microphone wasn't.
No, it was acting up.
Yeah, and the battery was full, so I'll have to look into it.
Did it do that when someone else used it?
No, it was everyone was using it. It was
crackling. I just wondered if it was his hearing aid affecting it.
And I didn't know if it was interference with the speaker, because it was traveling through the speaker and then coming through Don's mic. But no, the crackling.
It's that one microphone.
Yeah, because when you had it here at the table, it was crackling and it shouldn't have.
Yeah, and that's the one that somehow always ended up in this spot.
Oh.
And it crackled all the time. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Hand.
That wasn't intentional. I promise.
I saw you doing the juggling over there.
No, I'll take this one.
Resolution 23-226, moved to Councillor Keckman, second to Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller does hereby receive the minutes of the December 8, 2022 meeting of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee. Discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-227, moved by Councillor Keckinen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes of the March 8, 2023 meeting of the West Prairie Sound Recreation and Cultural Center Board. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to staff reports, recommendations for approval. 17.1, 23-228, moved by Councillor Keckinen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller has hereby received admin 2023-07, the Integrity Commissioner request for proposal, results, and recommendation. And now, therefore, be it resolved that blank be awarded RFP number PW2023-02 to appoint blank as Integrity Commissioner for the Township of McKellar. So we'll open that up for discussion on which of the two applications you received. If you'd like to fill in the blank. And as Councillor Keckinen's motion, he can speak first.
Well, we're both good proposals and background information provided. I would be in support of providing the awarding the RFP to Bench Municipal for the role of Integrity Commissioner. I believe that they've demonstrated in the RFP that they're qualified and would do an excellent job, and as well, there needs to be a financial consideration, and it's much more in line with what a small municipality can afford for those services. And I believe that that sort of leaves it open for the other proposal, that we can use that firm for other other leaves it open for opportunities to use the other, that there doesn't become a conflict of interest if we would need their services for other work that they provide.
By the other, you mean Eric Burles?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought you meant.
Is the seconder okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, Councillor Ryland?
Can I ask, Carly, and it's unfair to ask you at this point, but I mean, do you know how much we paid the Integrity Commissioner in the last year or any recent period?
No, I apologize. I don't have
it's that. Not substantial, though? I mean, that's what the report says, anyhow, right? Or at least under the conclusion, right?
I guess that would depend on the number of complaints.
I get it.
Vary from year to year.
Yeah, we had a few complaints there for a bit. I don't know if we might have spent 20 to 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I think so, maybe. I don't mark me on that for sure, but we had... He was a busy lad here for a while.
Yeah, and Eric Burles is more than twice the price, so... Hmm.
But now they were bad councils in the past. I wonder this. Nobody will complain about this council.
You got it.
It's those old guys. We had nothing to do with that.
I like the comment that to avoid conflict of interest, mm-hmm. that makes all kinds of sense because we've already used the other solicitors for another issue. And I'm not sure how conflict of interest works necessarily, but if it was declared... Then that's the reason we got to the other solicitor, because of a conflict with the Recreation and Cultural Center. So it's being Bench Municipal put into the resolution with the appoint Mary Ellen Bench as Integrity Commissioner for the Township of McKellar. Any further discussion? Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-229, moved by Councillor Keckin and seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the annual Building Department Report 2022 from Chief Building Official Chris Bordolo for information purposes. Discussion? Councillor Ryland?
I admit that I asked very late, being today, but I just asked if we had any comparable numbers for previous years. And I'm not proposing we change the report, just to get a sense of how does that trend. I assume it's less than, as a matter of fact, from memory, I know it's less, but I just don't know how much less than in previous years. But if that isn't available, it isn't available right now. But, I mean, I should have done it earlier, and I apologize.
That's okay. So for 2021, the total fees collected under the municipality's building bylaw for the calendar year 2021 totaled $219,908.25.
Okay.
And then for 2020, it was $137,230.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's consistent with my discussions, which were last year at least with Chris. But
yeah,
so okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed. Carried. Resolution 23-230, moved by Councillor Keckin, seconded by Councillor Zulak. The result, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report FD for Fire Department 2023-07, month-end status update for February 2023 from the Fire Chief Robert Morrison for information purposes. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Correspondence for consideration, Resolution 23-231, moved by Councillor Haskins, seconded by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the invitation to participate in a research study from the Ontario Agricultural College and Further be it resolved that the township respectfully decline the invitation to participate. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-232, moved by Councillor Rylance, seconded by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received a letter dated February 24, 2023, from Bob Griffiths, Chair of the Parry Sound Area Community Business and Development Center, Inc., regarding contributions for 2023. And further be it resolved that Council review the requested for 2023 contribution of $500 during the 2023 budget meeting deliberations. Discussion? Councillor Keggar?
Yeah, I was surprised in the chart that he provided here that indicated that in 2021 and 2022, doesn't seem there was any contribution from McKellar Township, which is unusual because I believe we certainly have to have a better discussion regarding what the how our donation and honorariums are, what they're encompassing in the budget. It's not clear. Previously, in the there used to be a notes column on the right-hand side, and it would indicate that donations and honorariums that were under the planning expenses in 2018 was $8,500. And a portion of that went to the MLCA water testing, and the other portion went to the CDNDC, $500. Whereas there's no it's very difficult in the current budget and probably a couple other ones to determine. There's no notes indicating where those donations or honorariums are being allocated to. A person has to actually look through their personal notes if they have them from that meeting. And so, yes, we need to discuss that a little more thoroughly at the next budget meeting.
So that would be a request of the treasurer to actually put that in the documents?
We need to have some indication. Like previously in the budget documents, it would have referred to resolution numbers where council have passed resolutions regarding certain expenditures, so it was very easy to follow and backtrack to see how much was spent and what when a council approved it.
It would seem to me to be inappropriate to call it a donation too. I mean, I see in the letter it actually refers to it as a contribution, you know, and it's just semantics to some degree, but I wouldn't consider it a donation. I think it's just an expense, period. But you know, but in terms of budgeting, yeah, it gets lost in the shuffle if it's lumped together with a bunch of others and we wouldn't know. But clearly they believe that apparently we didn't give it to them no matter what we called it. But and I don't know that that's particularly, you know, problematic. I mean, if we paid it, then we paid it. But in any event, yeah. It does seem.
My concern is that I believe that there was money budgeted, $4,000 in 2021 and $4,000 in 2022,
okay,
under that category, whatever that category represents.
Sure.
That possibly the treasurer was not aware that part of that allocation was for the CBNDC.
Oh,
of
I
that
see.
$4,000.
Okay. Okay, yeah, really only where Sean could answer that.
So should it actually, does it not have its own line item presently in the budget? I haven't got the budget here in front of me, but you'd almost think maybe the CBDC should have its own line and put $500 in there. I see no reason
some
why
type,
it would
some
come.
Type of clarification. I haven't been able to find it. I haven't been able to find it in 20. This was going to be a simple exercise, just looking. It was 2 hours later,
yeah,
and looking back to 2016 budgets, and
maybe it's not there. There's no line for CBDC.
No, it's not. It's not separated on its own line. It's lumped into donations and honorariums.
I don't really consider it either of those two things. I mean, it could be. I know it's, you know, death by a thousand cuts again. I mean, if you have more and more lines all the time, it just makes it that much more cluttered. But it would make sense that that I wouldn't class it with other donations or honoraria.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's just one extra line, and
and I support that 100%.
Yeah,
you're right.
Clarifies where it is.
Yeah,
because there are other similar contributions.
Well,
that
the whole category of cultural too. That's pretty broad.
Yeah,
any number of things can go under there. So it'd be nice to have them itemized.
Well, it's like those miscellaneous lines that we talked about last week too, where there's like a whole range of them, and like better every budget item has a miscellaneous, which doesn't help us to understand if we did it or we didn't. But
well, that seems to say more than it really says in the miscellaneous.
Yeah. For all we know, that's where this $500 went. I don't know. So.
Okay. Call the question on this one. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-233, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland, whereas improved financial stability allows municipal residents to participate, contribute, and invest in their local economies and communities, and whereas poverty puts additional pressure on municipalities who are responsible for delivering necessary and strained public and social services to support residents who are struggling with the consequences of inadequate income, and whereas food insecurity has a detrimental impact on physical and mental health, and whereas adequate income is an important social detriment of health that greatly impacts food security and other social determinants of health, such as mental health, housing, and transportation. And whereas the 2022 Cost of Eating Well report shows that households reliant on social assistance do not have enough money for the costs of living, including food. And whereas 67% of households in Ontario with social assistance as their main source of income experience food insecurity. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Township of McKellar supports efforts to raise awareness about and work to reduce health inequities, including food insecurity. And furthermore, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar endorsed the letter from the North Bay Prairie Sound District Health Unit and calling the province of Ontario to legislate targets for the reduction of food insecurity as part of the Ontario Poverty Reduction Strategy and increase social assistance rates to reflect the costs of living, and to index Ontario Works rates to inflation going forward, and urge the province to resume investigating the feasibility of creating a guaranteed living wage basic income in the province of Ontario. And furthermore, be it resolved that Township McKellar provide correspondence of these resolutions to the North Bay Prairie Sound District Health Unit, neighboring municipalities, Victor Fideli, MPP Nipissing, Braden Smith, MPP Prairie Sound Muskoka, John Banthoff, MPP Temiskaming Cochrane, the Honourable Doug Ford, Premier, the Honourable Mary Lee Fullerton, Minister of Children, Community and Social Service, the Honourable Sylvia Jones, Minister of Health, and the Association of Local Public Health Agencies, ALPHA, MP Anthony Rota, MP Scott Aitchison, MP Mark Serra, the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, AMO, and the Federation of Canadian Municipalities, FCM. Discussion? No, I won't repeat it.
So, absolutely concerned about individuals and their ability to afford affordable foods, and I support the two top bullets, legislate targets for the reduction of food security as part of the Ontario Poverty Reduction Strategy and increase social assistance rates to reflect the cost of living and to index Ontario Works rates to inflation going forward, but I don't support the third rate where it's... resume investigating the feasibility of creating a guaranteed living income. So no matter your employment status or your wage, everyone gets paid a certain amount. I'll support the first two bullets, but not that one currently.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Just for the record, I mean, when I read that third point, they were just investigating the feasibility of it. I don't have an objection to that. I think, well, depending on what they learn and what they share, I mean, I may or may not support that point, but I don't see any difficulty in looking at the feasibility. That's my only point. So
that's fine. But I went to this. Actually, there was quite a bit of information if you went to this website. And they present a very beautiful video of how everyone should receive a guaranteed income. Mm-hmm. And it sure reminds of some previous times in history where everyone got paid you know, the same amount, and it really declined their desire and their work ethic. Mm. So that's just my personal opinion and experience.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor?
Yes, I did raise my hand. Sorry.
Okay, I guess that's three in favor and two opposed. So it's carried. The motion, notice of motion, resolution 23-234, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve minor renovations to the Township of McKellar Public Library, including construction of 5-foot by 12-foot storage room in the office area of the library, installing partitioning to the maker space, and installation of an automatic door into the library. And further be it resolved that the library work with Chief Building Official Chris Borderlow on obtaining permits for the work where required. Discussion? Councillor Zulak?
So at the last library board meeting, we passed a motion, and it says that we, the Township of McKellar Public Library Board, move to submit a request to Council for approval to perform minor renovations to the library as presented in our deputation to Council on February the 7th, which was referenced in our strategic plan. So that's basically where that's coming from.
Okay, I guess the actual wall itself, petitioning, you don't need an engineer to look at anything like that. I'm not sure who's building it, but as long as we have the CBO investigating, I suppose.
I think he'll advise them on which way to go. This is just their basic idea of what they want to do, and then get, you know, work with Chris to see how to go about it.
Is there an expected cost or even an estimated cost, anything like that?
No.
Okay.
No, because it's not going to happen until next year, and I guess they have to see what it's going to,
okay. You
know, what, how much it will cost and how much work would be done.
And what they receive from the township.
Yeah, and what they receive from the township, so that's next year.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Resolution 23-235, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby appoint Terry Lacey to the Township of McKellar Recreation Committee. Discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 23-236, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Whereas Council passed a resolution number 23-92 at the January 24th, 2023 regular meeting of Council to direct the clerk, administrator, or a designate to advertise an RFP for a forensic audit of the township's financial records for the past 4 years. And whereas the closing date for the RFP was March 3rd, 2023 at 2 p.m., and three proposals were submitted. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby award the RFP number 2023-002 to blank in the amount of blank plus HST of blank for a total bid of blank, with the proviso that a contract be entered into between the Township of McKellar and blank prior to any work commencing or any payments being made. I'll put this out to Councillor Ryland, I guess, Councillor Haskin. Unless you want to discuss first, because I'm not sure, did we ever get Councillor Ryland's?
No, I didn't get it finished. I apologize.
To him,
I apologize.
So, what do you want to look at there? I think Carly gave us an update on that, or was it just sent to me?
No, I just provided you with everyone's.
Yeah, that's
with the
well, I mean,
that's the price.
That's the price.
So we didn't fill out a rating sheet like we ran through all our documents.
Yeah. And you gave it to me?
Yeah.
Big mistake.
There
it is.
What's the rating sheet?
Yeah.
And maybe you can just read out to us. You don't have to do each individual one, just what the results were.
Sure. So the number one rating was for KPMG LLP.
That's the one I
have lots of experience with that, with their firm. I can't speak highly enough of them, frankly. So. This was resolution 236, am I right?
Correct.
Okay.
Hereby award RFP number 2023-02 to KPMG LLP in the amount of $45,000 plus HST of $5,850, a total bid of $50,850, with the proviso that a contract be entered into between the Township of McKellar and KPMG LLP prior to any work commencing or any payments being made. Discussion? I think when you looked at them too, the actual references in different cases, I believe that KPMG is closer to what we were looking for with experience with the municipality. Some of the others are much broader and actually, I think, looking for fraudulent situations. And we weren't. We were concerned primarily with the turnover of staff and quite a few different people handling the finances. And I feel that their application, their references, probably better suited than the other two to doing just that. Plus, I like the fact that they're willing to sit down and talk to, with meetings of, with council and along with staff, and it's not just staff. The one that concerns me a little bit is that, and I suppose this is the approach of all three, is that they're going to do it by samples. And I was sort of hoping that they would look more in-depth, not just pull a week here or a week there, because you could miss all kinds of things. And the other thing that concerned me was that they were more hands-on, I think, and actually willing to come to the office, to the township. Most, though, are doing large percentage of the work virtually. And again, that concerns me. I'd like to see a situation like the auditors when they come and they take over this room and they have the papers right available to them. And I know that's harder on staff. Certainly they have to be available and provide this. But I think we could stress with them that more of that should be done in-house. They would have to travel here to do that, of course. But they do say that they have some local contacts, so, which is good. I'm just thinking as we negotiate with them, and the other thing that will have to be considered, and I think it's in another resolution, is the timing. We talked to our treasurer, Roshan, about it. And with the budgeting right now and with the auditors, he preferred May to April to have them come in and start to do their forensic audit. Mm. So I don't think that would be a problem. We'd have to negotiate certainly with the company. And obviously a notice to proceed and a contract has to be drawn up prior to them actually beginning. And I think that can all be arranged to move ahead. Now the costs, again, just a point. Is that, and it wasn't based just on this criteria, there were actually four different areas, but the price certainly was a consideration, and this is the lowest bid, and that's, again, quite common in situations like this. You want to make sure that it's just as fortunate in our case, I think, as I say, it seems to be the most appropriate to what we were looking for. And see if there are any other comments.
I would echo your comments. I mean, I have dozens of experiences, not with the individuals doing this one, but certainly with the firm doing small things, big things, and everything in between. I have a great deal of confidence in them. The fact that they were the lowest bid for, frankly, to me, is shocking because that wasn't my experience from work. So, I mean, that was just a pleasant coincidence, but I mean, and yeah, it's a key factor too. I mean, it's half of the most expensive ones, so you know, that's good. I share the same thing. I did see, and perhaps because of the RFP itself, but a preponderance of comments about fraud and being focused on that, and I understand that, but that's you know, that implies that there is some, or they suspect some anyhow, and I don't know about that, but anyhow, so.
I think, too, what was good, what I was impressed with, is that they actually took comments from the RFP and showed how they could meet the requests, and they did actually state that they realize there are no actual cases of fraud to be investigated, but they're doing a risk assessment sort of thing, and I think that's the idea of moving forward as well. How can we avoid any potential problems in the future? And what procedures can the treasurer and department heads, et cetera, put into practice so that we don't run into those problems? And that I know what you said, that most of them dealt with that, and that's why I think this one is a little closer to what we're actually looking for. Mm-hmm. Okay, no other questions? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-237, moved by Councillor Haskins, seconded by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby direct staff to engage the services of Russell Christie LLP to prepare a notice to proceed letter with the attached contract for KPMG LLP, being the successful bidder of RFP number 2023-002, the forensic audit, as per page 3 of the RFP. And further, be it resolved, staff present the NTP letter and the contract to the successful bidder as soon as possible thereafter, as time is of the essence in this matter. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Do you need us to initial that because we filled in the blank? I think it's on the point, but.
Resolution 23-238, moved by Councillor Ryland, seconded by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby direct staff to engage the services of Russell Christie LLP to prepare a waiver agreement for all landowners residing on Lakeshore Road who may have a dock attached to township property on the shores of Lake Manitowabe. Discussion? Councillor Keck.
I'm not sure, but I don't. Was that actually the recommendation? I thought for anything that was permanent in nature, it seemed more that an encroachment agreement was more appropriate in those circumstances.
Well, no, I think there were two options she provided. The encroachment was more for the water lines and any structures that may be on the properties, and you have to do them individually. She did have a comment in there, the waiver might be more appropriate for the docks along the shoreline that are attached to the township property. So she did say that that could be more generic than the encroachment, which is very specific.
I think the one concern here is that the one point that was that aligned with the encroachment agreement was that then you can incorporate the need for them to indicate that they have insurance, and that in those situations, because I think that's the main concern with the docks is the liability towards the township.
Well, I, my understanding of a waiver is that's what it does, that the township is not liable. So as far as checking into their insurance, again, if you're going into the encroachment, you have to look at individual people. And that's a much more costly approach, and I'm just not sure that we should be using that approach right now, because Greg seemed to have an idea how he can improve the road without those agreements necessarily, with the encroachment agreements. So I hear what you're saying, but again, I think if you read what the solicitor sent us, she seemed to be agreeing. agreeable that the waiver would work for the docks in her letter to us.
The one point that stuck out for me was that if the docks were permanent, the structure that was permanent along the shoreline attached to township property was the concern, not so much the floating part of the dock. So I just want to make sure that we're taking the proper route here, and maybe, you know, through this exercise and engagement, the any issues or concerns will come out through the process. So I think this is a good start, but I think that we certainly have to make sure that any liability concerns are part of the end result.
And this does deal with the docks that are attached to the township property, not the free-floating ones. So whether
right.
you say permanent or whatever, but if they have a ramp or whatever is attached, then I think the big concern, of course, is going to be find out who owns what and how to get the letters out to the landowners that actually own a dock. And whether you just blanket the whole township or the whole Lakeshore Road,
yeah.
and then everybody gets a copy of this, and then those who find it applicable then could fill it in, and those who don't. If we don't receive any, then I guess we have to look at Plan B.
Yeah, that was in part, I was going to ask that question. How do we know, and what if somebody just refuses to sign it because they don't want to sign it, but they do have a dock? I mean, how do we either prove or how do we know whether you do or you don't have a dock, right?
Yeah, well, it was suggested, I guess, that be part of the waiver agreement, that there'd be a clause in there.
Yeah.
So that there are repercussions if they don't come forward and they do have one. I don't know.
They can have one a week after his own. When we ask them to sign a waiver, they can say I didn't have one. Now they do.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to split hairs. I recognize the difficulty, but I mean, how do we know, right? And just because it's in front of my place doesn't mean it's mine. So
and not necessarily that all the docks along Lakeshore Road are on township property.
Mm-hmm.
There are some there that are
if they're attached to the township property. Except down past I suppose where Lankford's living onto the Moore property, because that was never taken in by the township.
Right.
It's just where Rand Moore's property came across and he sold it to the township. So there is a limitation. It's the same with the no parking signs. We can only go so far with that. Greg knows that. Because some of it is private property along there. So
that might create a bit of confusion for those who have a dock, but it's not on township property, it's on private property, but they're on Lakeshore?
Yeah, I think it'd only be one person, from what I can recall, that might be in that situation. But on private property I've seen, I'm not even sure there's a dock on it. So, but that could be checked, certainly, yes.
But in any event, this is just to prepare the waiver, and then it's up to us
right.
to figure out where to use
That's
it.
Right.
Okay.
And as Councillor Hassan said before, if this means something going forward, I think Lakeshore is a major concern. I don't know about the situation. Well, I know we were talking about encroachments before, and that might be another step, but I'm just looking at how individual they are and how expensive they are at this point, and I'm not sure if we're going to really resolve too much with that at this point, especially if it's not a problem for our director of operations to improve the road without affecting water lines. I know he wants to move some of them somehow and talk to the owners about that, what can be done. And if they get an improved road out of it, they might go along with it.
So. Would you use something like a directional bore? Is that how you would do it? Yeah, I don't know either. It's not fair to ask, but it's just I don't know how.
That would be a generic
right.
waiver, right? Okay.
Yep. That should make it less expensive.
Yeah.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-239, moved by Councillor Haskin, seconded by Councillor Ryland, be it resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby deem the 2008 Ford CTV, the Fire Department vehicle, surplus, as recommended by Fire Chief Robert Morrison, and further be it resolved that the vehicle be donated to Firefighters Without Borders Canada. Discussion?
I can speak to this if you like.
Sure.
So Robert Morrison suggested that this vehicle be deemed surplus because it's costing the township more to have it than it is being used. So last year it didn't even turn a wheel. So obviously we're paying insurance costs on it, any maintenance that needs to be done, even though it's a sitting vehicle. So he suggested that it be deemed surplus, and then the recommendation to have it go to firefighters against,
yeah.
or without borders.
Firefighters without borders, yeah.
He said that was more of a better option, because if we were to sell the vehicle, it would be for a minimal amount, as if we donated it to this cause, then it's, you know, doing good and is more beneficial.
Mm-hmm. And we did another vehicle last year, the year before?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so...
Councilor Zulak.
So my question is why would we be donating a truck that was no good for us, that was unfit?
It's surprising. We've actually got a number of vehicles from fire departments in out of the area, and we actually put them into service here. So
yeah.
I think in other places.
Which explains why we declare them surplus later.
Right. So. Now we have a surplus. But other people can use them.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I'm just getting at, they said that the transmission was no good and the motor needed replacing and everything else, and so we're going to donate that to a fire?
Well, I'm sure they were requesting it. I'm sure they know what they're getting, or they wouldn't take it.
Yeah,
seems funny we'd be donating something that's unsafe.
Yeah.
The last one got shipped to the Ukraine, and they sent us a thank you letter for it too. I mean, sometime after. But and again, how can you afford to ship something that big and heavy overseas and things is beyond me. But
who shipped to the Ukraine?
When it was declared surplus, it ended up being shipped to the Ukraine, and it's in use there. Apparently, obviously, they had to repair it in order to make it serviceable and things. But
the last truck,
the last truck. So I don't know the logistics of how all that happened, but that is what happened, and it's like, it's great that somebody can use it. I question how much did it cost them to make it serviceable. I don't know, but
that probably just got bombed.
I'm sure they need a lot more fire trucks, but yeah.
But even if they use it for scrap and use the money, if it isn't any good, at least somebody will put it to use.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And Resolution 23-240, moved by Councillor Ryland, seconded by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the estimate dated March 16, 2023 from the scope of Starlink for the installation of Starlink infrastructure at the Municipal Center Complex. Further, be it resolved that the quotation be accepted in the amount of $1,460 plus HST of $189.80 for a total of $1,649.80. Discussion? I'm just wondering about a little addendum there because of some past experience, and further that the installation occur on March 24th, because it was actually, I don't know whether you're aware of it, he moved us to the 29th.
Oh.
And so then we got a nice email from myself and saying, well, we have other people engaged now because of your 24th date. We have our IT specialist coming on the weekend of 25th, 26th to install it internally. So then he, so he put it back to the 24th. Mm-hmm. So if we feel secure that he'll be here on the 24th, we don't need that addendum. But I think he understands. Councilor Ryan?
I know you and I had this discussion when we left the last time, based upon where I think that he's planning to mount it, and with the size of the post that he's planning to mount it on, I suspect that it will be at least partially obstructed because of the roof of the community center being significantly higher than where he's planning to put it, based upon the exact specs that are here and based upon the notion he's going to put it by the lower of the two antennas that are out on the roof out here. But on the basis that, you know, he would be responsible for it, you know, doing what he does, and if he's done as many as we think he's done, I'm sure he knows exactly what he's doing, but it's still a concern. Right. But nevertheless, I don't know how we would say that other than if it doesn't work because of where he put it, he would have to move it. And in my opinion, at his own cost. But
Yeah, it's a little confusing because the picture that, I know we had this discussion, the picture that he sent was out here by the post office, and yet he said mechanical room, and Councillor Hassan was correct. The actual mechanical room, most of it is down there, the other end, down by
the
entrance
room?
To the basement.
Yeah,
that's okay. The mechanical room. So I'm not sure if he got the wrong angle, or he wasn't sure where the mechanical room was. I'm not sure. If he puts it down there, that's much higher, and it wouldn't be obstructed by the roof. So I'm not sure whether we have any more information
or not. Yeah, I think he was confused in using the mechanical room as a reference.
Okay.
He is putting it outside the server room that is in the office, so it is where the picture
is. But it's on
is.
That side of the building.
So it doesn't help you any with what you're
no.
saying.
No. Here, when you have Starlink, the app allows you to check for obstructions. You literally hold up your phone, you wave it around, and it tells you when it's done, and it tells you if there's any obstructions. If he does that, and there's no obstructions, he could put it underneath the basement for all I care. But, you know, that's not the point. The point being, logically, he would do that, and he would know that because this is what he does. And I'm not trying to second-guess it. I'm just saying that I have a concern, and my only other point would be if he does it, and it doesn't work where we have obstructions or it's limited because of where he put it, then it's up to him to move it, right? His expense, right? I don't know if we need to say that because it's kind of confrontational to do that. By the same token, I would like somebody to make sure that we ask the question before he mounts it and finds out it doesn't work.
In his estimate, he includes service calls within the first 30 days are no charge.
Okay.
So at least we have that buffer.
Okay.
Yeah, that should do it.
That's good.
It's also, you could just ask him, right? Are you checking for obstructions? And he would know how to do that. It's actually a very simple process.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't require any intelligence. You wave your phone around and it says yes or no.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
We won't tell him that it doesn't require any intelligence, but yeah. Well,
it doesn't require any intelligence because I've done it and I didn't need any, so.
I'm sure the obstructions off of this roof are pretty minimal compared to a lot of applications he battles with, you would think.
Yeah. Anyway. That's fine. I'm okay with that. I mean, Carly's got
the
right of it. So
thing should handle.
Yeah.
So are we putting a date in there?
Sorry.
I think he's okay.
All falls on Dave.
I changed the
Okay.
The number, and then I took the quotation number out.
Okay.
And then added in what his quote was.
Okay. Call the question. All in favor? None opposed. Carried. Resolution 23-241, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryan. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby authorized the use of the Township logo by the McKellar Agricultural Society for insertion in their fair prize book for the years 2023 to 2025, inclusive in the section reserved for the arm wrestling competitions. Discussion? All other questions? All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to bylaws.
I'm declaring.
And Resolution 23-242, moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby give bylaw number 2023-26, being a bylaw to stop up and close part of the original road allowance between Concession 12, Part Law 21, and Concession 13, Part Law 21, Township of McKellar, District of Fairy Sound. First and second reading, further read a third time and passed an open council this 21st day of March 2023. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Sure.
Resolution 23-243, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar So hereby give bylaw number 2023-27, being a bylaw to stop up, close, and sell part of the original road allowance between Plan 275, Block A, and Concession 6, Lot 29, Township of McKellar, District of Prairie Sound. The first and second reading, and further read a third time, and passed in open council this 21st day of March, 2023. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-244, moved by Councillor Ryan and seconded by Councillor Haskam. Be a result, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-28, being a bylaw to amend bylaw number 2022-42 to establish and regulate a fire department in the Township of McKellar at first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed in open council this 21st day of March 2023. Discussion?
Good.
Oh. I just
go for it.
I had a quick question on this one because my suggestion was we're still dealing with that 11.1 and what that actually means, because he's mentioned that it isn't private necessarily, private use and private property and all that. He's talking about the firefighter association with the Dubuque Community Deeds, and I'm wondering why 11.1 can't be amended at the same time as this is, rather than keep amending the original bylaw. It's up to you whether you want to do two amendments as opposed to all in one. This could be deferred. I don't know how important it is that it be on there for the junior firefighters. It would be done immediately. Whether you want to do both things at once or not. Just put it out there as an option. Councillor Ryan?
Can I just ask, in terms of the resolution, it doesn't specifically mention the junior firefighter, which is really the gist of this whole thing. Is it? I would find it useful or helpful if it at least mentioned it. I'm not sure exactly how to do that, but which one is this one here? But
amendments to include the junior firefighter program?
Yeah, just so that it's clear, because it's not broadly about the fire department, it's about junior firefighters. So.
Now, it's certainly useful for the average person who doesn't have access to all the papers, yeah. Yes.
So in that case, we could defer it and
do it with
consider the additional so that there's not a need to try to amend the resolution the way it's written currently, but at the next meeting that those additions could be added to the resolution, the motion.
In speaking with the fire chief, he just wanted these amendments moved forward quickly as he has people that are interested in the junior firefighter program, and he said it would be a benefit of the township to have these people on as soon as possible, and that 11.1 could be discussed at another future soon meeting of council.
Yeah, my only concern is that 11.1 is a contentious point because of the way it's worded right now, and that we don't know what's going to happen between now and when we actually able to discuss with them. So I think this is more incentive that he discuss 11.1 with us and get it reworded, that if he wants to, and this seems to happen fairly often, that it's a rush job, we have to do this. So if it's that important that you get the junior firefighters amendment, then I think it'd be just as important to get amendment to 11.1. Just more incentive for him to work on a resolution or a clause that would take the place of 11.1.
I think that's a good point.
So we could ask him to have that for the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Is one of his issues simply that he's not in McKellar at the moment, or
I don't know
either, but anyhow, I know it has been an issue in the past anyhow, so right, but yeah, I'm agreeable to that for sure. So
I'm hearing deferment. I'll
call
the question on that. All those in favor? Okay, so it's deferred. To public notices, announcements, inquiries, and reports by council members. Anything on the committees that you've attended? Councillor Zulak.
I just got some information from the Municipal Association about the spring meeting. Did you receive that, Carly?
No.
Okay. I'll give you a copy.
Okay.
And the spring meeting for the District of Harrisown Municipal Association will be held on Friday, May the 5th, hosted by the town of McMurtry Monteith. And the location of the meeting is in Scruesdale Community Center. The cost is $30 per person, which includes lunch and refreshments breaks. Confirm your attendance by April the 17th so catering can be finalized. And I'll give that to you, Harley. Thank you.
I guess the question is, not me, you've been there before? In a former role? Okay. Well, I'm just wondering what occurs there and how many people should go, or can one person bring back information?
One person can go and bring back the information. In the past, I'd thought probably you've gone, Mike. There's maybe been three or four people go because it's not that expensive, and it's a, you know, you can get out and talk to other people, and then they have different people coming to it. In the past, they've had, you know, environmental people and MTO. They were talking about having MTO there, and there was a lot of discussion about the short-term rentals because Seguin was having a lot of problem also with short-term rentals, and so they were thinking of maybe getting some kind of a lawyer or something there that, you know, could advise people, but that's cost to, you know, to bring these people in. So I don't know what the venue is yet, but...
So, would you say any interested counselors to contact the office? Is that the idea?
Yeah,
probably
I think
want to
so.
Go?
Yeah.
What's the date again?
What did I say? April 5th?
Deadline.
Oh, the deadline, April 5th?
Deadline,
the
April
deadline
is... April 17th is the deadline, and the May 5th is the...
May 5th,
okay.
And registration begins at 8:15 a.m.
Oh,
usually that's...
Yeah.
Meeting starts at 9.
How far are we at Scruesdale?
It's a couple of hours. I'm going there on Thursday.
Well,
yeah.
From my place, maybe.
Well, one of the things, too, they talked about at the West Harrisown Economic Development Collaborative was that James Cox, he might be doing a presentation. It was suggested that he do a presentation for the survey. He knows that this came from Mayor Robinson from McDougall. He knows that it goes beyond just the West Harrisown, that it's the district of, and but he thought that might be appropriate, so that's a possible part of the agenda.
Yeah, because that was mentioned, you know, about DSAB and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a few.
Councilor Pick?
So will we have a resolution at the next council meeting?
Yes.
And for any interested councilors, I think it's a very worthwhile gathering. In the past, like Councillor Zulak has mentioned, there's great speakers, good information, and it's good to get together with our neighboring rural municipalities. So I think it's a good app, you know, for this that small fee of $30 per councillor. It's well worth any councillors that want to attend.
You can put my name down.
Yeah,
there.
I guess when the resolution comes forward.
So we have a mover and a seconder for the resolution at the next meeting, okay? Other committee presentations, comments? Councillor Hassan will speak to the dance, I guess, and different events.
Yeah, had a great dance on Friday night, St. Pat dance. I haven't had any meetings since our last council meeting, I don't believe, but... events go on. Yeah, we had a snowmobile ride. Is that? No.
Yeah,
snowmobile ride, but I sort of thought we had a council meeting since then. It was a success too. So, yeah, people are starting to get out and enjoy, you know. So we have a rec meeting Thursday here. We'll do the budget at that, and we'll try not to do a miscellaneous line.
Sounds good.
You could do donations,
that,
though.
See
throw
how
donations
that fight
in
goes.
Instead, right?
Yeah, don't. So, anyways, we'll strike a budget, but I'm sure I kind of reviewed it and laid out my thoughts for the whole thing to try to make sure there's no increase at all. So,
okay,
it was a good event. I enjoyed it. I was there with my wife and my sister and brother-in-law, and I met a bunch of people that they knew that I didn't, and I had a great time. It really was. So, and the band was great.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the guy. I knew Mike Branca. I've known him for a long time, so anyhow, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've had a couple meetings. One was the Recreation Cultural Center, but you have the minutes from the March the 8th, and they don't meet again until April. The other was the Economic Development Collaborative for West Prairie Sound. Met on Monday evening through Zoom. I don't think anybody attended at the Archipelago. And they're setting up some sessions through a facilitator over the summer, two or three sessions, to work on the new governance model and the new funding formula. Sounds like lots of fun. Yeah. Because the grant is running out of some FEDNOR, as I mentioned before at the previous meeting. So it'll now be funded totally by the municipalities. Right now we're paying a percentage of, I think it's 6%, or it's around $6,000 we're paying into that, but that will jump dramatically, I'm sure, depending on what the facilitator comes up with. But going forward, that'll be the concern, I think, as we get later into the year. He did a survey, a business survey, and did the presentation the other night, and that's why I say it wasn't recorded, unfortunately, but he has a PowerPoint with some figures on it, which is good. And he is going to do a final report when he goes back and talks to some of the businesses, and he'll be ready for sometime in the summer, I think, the final report, which should make available. It was one interesting thing he had was a graph showing the different townships and what businesses exist in those townships. He just did it by dots here and there, but and also who he'd interviewed from different people in different areas. And the concentration, of course, was in Prairie Sound and along the old road down through the park. And I'm trying to think of the name of that. What's that road called?
Osler Lake.
Osler, that's the Osler Park, yeah. And that was the large, and of course the industrial park stood out too, and the airport. There were clusters there of different people and businesses. So I think there'll be more information coming, and I'll certainly send that out if we get the PowerPoint that was presented on Monday evening. So. Other than that, nothing really scheduled. Any other committee meetings? Okay, on to consent agenda, resolution 23-245, moved by Councillor Haskins, seconded by Councillor Ryan. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. We have resolution 23-246, moved by Councillor Ryan, seconded by Councillor Haskins. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-29, being a bylaw to confirm that the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, further read a third time and passed in open Council this 21st day of March 2023. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-247, moved by Councillor Haskins, seconded by Councillor Ryan. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
9:56 p.m.
to meet again on March 31st, 2023 at 1 p.m. for a special open meeting of Council to continue discussion on the 2023 draft budget or at the call of the mayor. Discussion? All the question? All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.